Good afternoon. I'm Rhonda Fineman, and this is the Healthy Options program on WERU Community Radio. Due to the extremely stressful circumstances of late, we felt it would be very important to catch up again with Elaine Miller-Karas, the co-founder and former executive director of the Trauma Resource Institute, which is a nonprofit dedicated to promoting resilience and trauma-informed care. Under her guidance, the Trauma Resource Institute has pioneered groundbreaking initiatives such as the Community Resiliency Model and the Trauma Resiliency Model, both of which have become widely acknowledged interventions for addressing and preventing traumatic stress. She's led projects to help communities recover from earthquakes, hurricanes, mass shootings, and fires, and is currently working with her community in LA after the horrendous fires in LA. In addition, the Trauma Resource Institute continues their work internationally, for instance, in Ukraine and Israel, and there's also a project to bring the community resiliency model to Gaza. Elaine Miller-Karas shares her experience and insights in her writing on trauma-related subjects as a regular contributor to Psychology Today and as the host of the weekly podcast Resiliency Within, which is heard on Voice America. She's the author of Building Resilience to Trauma, The Trauma and Community Resiliency Models, a work commended by the United Nations for its alignment with the UN's Sustainable Development Goals. And she has shared her expertise and given presentations at numerous prestigious institutions, including the CDC, the United Nations, the Global Fund, Catalyst 2030, and the Skoll World Forum. Welcome back to Healthy Options, Elaine Miller-Karas. When we spoke with you last year, we noted that it was a difficult time. Well, here we are again, and we thank you for taking the time to speak with us right now about the time that we find ourselves in now. Hopefully we can get some support, guidance, and ways to keep our nervous system regulated and strong so we can do the work we need to do in the world. Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Well, I'm so glad to be here again. And this is another beginning of a new year with great difficulty and distress that I think we're all collectively experiencing in the United States of America and beyond.
So just describe your work a little bit. We'll go into details and all the questions that people have asked me about. How do I regulate my nervous system? I'm totally freaked out at all times. But other than that, we have nothing to discuss for this hour.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. See you later.
Right.
Well, first of all, you know, the Trauma Resource Institute, I can't believe it. I founded it almost 20 years ago, October of 2006. And I've almost known you that long, which is surprising to me. I mean, the time has gone by so fast. But really, it was really started in order to bring healing to our world community. I really look at myself kind of as a world ambassador. I've been to so many different countries. My work now has come to 77 countries, all 50 states, which I'm so proud of. Now, I haven't been the person who's brought them to all 77 countries and all 50 states, but you know, we created a concept which I think is really important, and it's called, we need to share this work with natural leaders of communities. And if we can share it with natural leaders of communities like you, for example, then you know your community better than I do. And then you can bring wellness skills to your own community embedded in the culture of your community. I think what's important about what I'm saying is that I have learned that there is a common humanity throughout the entire world, that we all have a nervous system that exactly is designed in the same way, whether we live in China, Europe, Antarctica, California, Maine, that is designed in the same way when we experience stress and when we experience trauma, but it's also designed for healing. And I think that's the wonderful thing to know, that even with great suffering, I've also seen hope. It's like we can hold in both of our hands, right? We can hold the suffering and the hope and bring them together and know that we can work as individuals, as communities, as a nation, to change what's happening right now. So I do believe that.
Yes. And part of the work and what we is that there, what, when we talk about the nervous system, we can talk about what is the inner workings? What helps us stay resilient, you know, so we don't fall apart always, you know, even when we're under stress?
Well,
maybe we do. Maybe I shouldn't have phrased it that way. But
You know, it's so funny because I did my own show this morning and I was talking to someone who's been leading a coalition in the Palisades. And we were talking about how what she's seen over and over again is even though people have lost everything, that there's still this well-being. Some people call it resilience. There's still this sprinkling of hope that we can see even when faced with terrible things that are happening in the world. Now, and I say that because I also don't want to trivialize what's happening. Because I think in this lifetime of mine, and I've been around for 70 years, I have never lived through a time in the United States that have been so frightening, scary, and where I've seen people being treated in ways that I never imagined would happen in a democracy. And so I know that as people are listening to me, they're hearing what I'm saying and knowing that there are many people, whether you live in Maine or Minnesota or Los Angeles or New York City, that when we see the images of what's happening in the world, it affects us. So I'm going to talk about the nervous system in this way, because what I noticed this morning, I read about the life of the nurse, Mr. Preddy, and I just thought, what an amazing young man, and that he died trying to help someone. But what I noticed was that I felt a pit in my stomach. I felt tension in my arms. This is my autonomic nervous system telling me that I'm having a sympathetic response. I'm going into a hyper-aroused state in my body. I didn't know the gentleman, but reading about him and the way that he died and what's happening in different parts of our country right now has a visceral effect to my body. That's part of my nervous system. And what's important about this to your listeners is that we're designed to have reactions in our body. I actually now call it body literacy. And our body literacy tells us when we're in distress. But it also can help us when we're in distress to also remember, I often say this word, you've heard this before from me, Rhonda, what else is true, that I even though my physiology is distressed, how can I help my physiology not stay in tight muscles in a hyper-aroused state? Because I know when I'm in that state, I'm sometimes not my best self. I sometimes can be more reactive to my family. I can maybe say things that I regret. But if I can calm my nervous system and learn different strategies to do that, and I can do that with intention and pay attention to that with an awareness, then I take a deeper breath. My muscles relax. I can feel my body shifting. I might even have what we call a release sensation. I might yawn or even shake it out a little bit. You know, we have colloquialisms, shake it out. Those are how the nervous system has been observed throughout the ages, not in fancy terms that we use in science, but in noticing what happens. That's why people often say, if we're anxious, take a breath, although that never works for me because it makes me more upset. But I know that there's ways that I can say, I'm wondering right in this present moment, would it be helpful if I brought you a glass of water? Would it be helpful if I brought you a blanket if I lived in Maine? Or if I brought you something that maybe could, you know, bring you an umbrella so that you can be shaded if you lived in Southern California, right? But all those ways are ways to help the nervous system come back into a physiological balanced state. And that when we're in that balanced state, there's more blood flow coming to our prefrontal cortex.
In our brains.
And then we become more solution focused. We also can become more self-compassionate. When we're more self-compassionate, we're more compassionate to our wider community, which then can lead us to maybe thinking outside the box, what could be helpful right now? What could be helpful to the people of Minnesota right now, or the people in Maine or California or anywhere in the world that are suffering? And so we also can tap into, and I want to talk more about this, but you may have a question first. Mm-hmm. Our well-being circuit, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. But
definitely, okay. Yes. I wanted to talk about the accumulation of trauma. You, as in, you know, people are in war zones, and that happens. It's just one thing after another. Here in Minnesota, Renee Good was murdered, and then and now Alex Priddy. So it's one thing on top of another. I know people in Minneapolis who, when you walk outside, you're seeing people with rifles and gear. So it's a trauma on one on top of another. And what we're discussing is that even with that level of extreme stress, we still have that ability, or we still have it in our nervous systems, a mechanism, as it were, that we can tap into, and we can learn about how to tap into. Is that what, if I hear that correctly?
You are absolutely correct, that we can do that. And that doesn't mean that we're going to change. We can't change the fact that Renee Good and Alex Priddy were killed, or the repercussions to their friends, their families, to me and to you, who never met them, but yet feel like something, like, you know, I'm going to use a Star Wars reference. There's been a disturbance in the force of what's good, the energy of what is healing in our world. When anyone dies in such a horrific way, trying to protect others, or just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or happens to be in a country, in, for example, just use Ukraine for an example, where the huge power next door just wants their country. So we're just going to bomb your nation and kill people until you know, we can bring you to your knees so that we can take over your country. I mean, it seems so incredibly ludicrous that anybody would even want to think that way, yet we see it happening every day. We can't change that. But I can change my reaction to my own nervous system and try to be my best self, which I'm not saying is always easy, Wanda, because it's not. Even though I've created a model of intervention to help with steadying our nervous system so that we can come back into that, what I'll call the zone of well-being, and that we can do it with intention. But that doesn't mean that we don't get bumped out of that zone of well-being, that I don't go into my high zone when I feel angry, so angry, I want to yell at everybody around me, and I have tight muscles. And maybe if I really carried that through, I might, you know, have to apologize for my behavior. Or I get into my low zone when I'm disconnected and numb. I don't want to get out of bed. And there's always a danger for that with what's happening in our country. Because I imagine there may be, and this has happened to me, where I don't think I can watch the news. Now, why am I avoiding the news? Because when I listen to the news, it really bothers me. And I feel like I can't do anything about it. But then I can get disconnected from myself. I don't want to know, let's say, everything that's happening in the world. But I need to know something in order to keep myself safe, my family safe, and maybe what the institutions that I believe are important in our country safer, which means I might have to vote. And I want to vote because I want to make sure that people are protecting our Constitution.
Or I want to work with my neighbors to protect my other neighbors. I want to work with my neighbors, or I want to take action. And, you know, there are two things that came up, that to join in. Yes. And yet to join in requires a level of resilience and a level of calming the nervous system. So what about what we've heard of, maybe people have heard, flight, fright, freeze? Do we get into freeze? How if we're now hearing about, now I'm part of a group, I'm part of a whatever the group is, the Neighborhood Watch Association, I'm part of whatever it is, and now I'm getting inundated with all of this information about the need, or where somebody is being abducted, or what is happening over here.
Yes. So basically, we have a survival network within our brain and our body, so that when we're under threat, when there's an existential threat, we can go into, actually, it happens automatically. We have a part of our brain called the amygdala that is our appraisal system. It's always looking for danger. And the danger can be physical danger. It can be emotional danger. It can be the danger of me listening too much to the news. And then I might go into a reaction, and I have to take care of my granddaughter today, and I need to be my best self doing that, right? Or, you know, some of your listeners are parents or take care of their elders, for example. So, but we can go into what are called, like you said, automatic responses. And automatic responses, there's actually, I call it four Fs, and they are friend, tending, and befriending. So when people are saying, let's gather together, let's tend and befriend the social group so that we are more powerful as a group to deal with what's happening. You see this happening in Minneapolis right now, right? They are banding together.
And here in Maine
and here in Los Angeles as well. And so people are tending and befriending, which is a very pro-social thing that's very positive. And in the United States, we've always had the right to assembly. And so that's what's dangerous about what's happening is we're visibly seeing, oh, our rights are being taken away. But people in higher power are saying, oh, no, you didn't see what you saw. So they're trying to make us doubt what we see with our own eyes, which is a very dangerous thing to do in a democracy. So we could go into tending and befriending, but some of us are just saying, I'm out of here. I was talking to somebody this morning that's saying, I just talked to my friend and they're moving to Ireland. Their grandmother came from Ireland and they got their Irish passport and they're moving. So how many times in our life have we heard Americans wanting to leave America, right? So that is something that's uncommon and novel for many of us. So that could be a flight response, but there also can be a fight response where I am going to fight those people and I'm going to let them know and I'm going to go out there with my gun. And you have a gun. I have a gun. May not end up being a very good exchange. Both people could end up being dead, right? When we take the fight response too, but the fight response can also be positive. Now, how you say, how can it be positive? I'm thinking about, John was his first name, but he talked about good trouble. You know who I'm talking about, right?
John Lewis.
John Lewis, thank you. Good trouble. Well, good trouble could be I'm in a fight response, but I'm passionately angry. And I know that I am going to work as being a very passionate advocate to change things. He was talking about the civil rights movement. We may be talking about the existential movement to keep our democracy. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, before we get to freeze, which is very important, I just want to let people know, if you have just joined, this is the Healthy Options Program on WERU Community Radio. I'm Rhonda Feynman. We're here with Elaine Miller-Karas, co-founder of the Trauma Resource Institute and author of Building Resiliency to Trauma, the Trauma Community Resiliency Models. And we are talking about our physiological reaction to stress and then techniques to work in our community to help us stay grounded. So and now we're freezing.
Okay. Friend, that's contending and befriending.
Oh, yes.
Flight and freeze. But I want to say one more thing, too, about flight. Flight is not necessarily going to Ireland, right? Leaving the country. You know, flight might be, I can't stay with this group of friends because they hold a different viewpoint to me about what I think needs to happen in society. I am leaving that group because my nervous system's saying it doesn't serve me. Now, some people say, well, you're fleeing. Well, I am fleeing something that's not good for me. So remember that the survival responses are meant for our protection. And that may be something that we need to do in these times. So the last one, the freeze response, and all of these responses, something physiological happens to our body, right? When we complete a fight or fight response or a flight response, we are activating the sympathetic nervous system to escape, to get away. When we get away or we, you know, complete that action, we feel calmer. So our nervous system goes more into a regulated state, which we call the zone of well-being or the resilience zone. The freeze response is there's an existential threat and we cannot speak. We can get scared, silent, or speechless. People actually lose their bowels when something like that happens, right? That's a physiological response to that. You can get scared so much that you lose your bowels. So in any event, what's important to know about that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. That means something frightened you to such a degree. And it also not only can happen to adults and children. I saw the most heartbreaking little note that a child had written saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I could be sent to El Salvador. Thank you. You've been my really good friend, but I may never be able to see you again. Oh my gosh, from a little child, right? So children who have family members that are from other countries right now, even if they were born in the United States or not, can be very afraid for their well-being. And let's say they see somebody come to their house who's a law enforcement person who's not planning to harm them, but they see a gun and they may go into a freeze response where they literally cannot move. I mean, so, and that is also meant for protection, because if we do not move and a predator is trying to get to us, it actually can help us in that moment that we did not know if we were going to be killed, that there would be a lack of conscious awareness of what that harm would be. But there's some of us that have, we go into a freeze response, and that may be the way that is behaviorally illuminated is by, I can't get out of bed. I'm depressed. I feel numb. I feel disconnected. Even if it was a warm day in Maine, I feel really cold because my nervous system is not in a balanced state. And actually, when we go into a freeze response, it's really the most activated of our nervous system. And it's the most difficult actually to come out of that freeze response when we get there. So those are all natural states that can happen to any one of us when we feel the threat is really great.
So let's look at the cues that we can learn so we could hopefully help ourselves not get into freeze. We have ways. We're all in this together, are we not? So does that help? Just acknowledging that we're.
That we have people that we are that are like-minded that are in different parts of the country in our community. Because when we are in community, that's tending and befriending. Actually, endorphins are released in our nervous system that actually are calming for us, and that's one of the reasons why we gather together. Whether it's in a synagogue, in a church service, where we come together to pray, to be together in community, to have meals together, to have community rituals. These are all ways that we come together that actually help our nervous system and keep us in a more balanced state. So they're very important to us right now. But the other way that we can actively engage with our nervous system, and knowing the part of Maine that you're in, that you have a lot of well-being practices that are practiced in your community. Oh my goodness, go toward them. Because when we know, for example, if you do a Tai Chi practice, Tai Chi can be very healing for the nervous system that can bring you into your zone of well-being. Acupuncture, I happen to know someone there like you that does that. We know that that helps the nervous system as well, right? Because people who end up being in states where they're chronically in hyper arousal, their nervous system starts to have an impact into what can lead to chronic pain syndromes that can lead to your door saying, I need relief. It's too much in my body right now. But I don't want to, of course, I want to say what I'm going to say right now is complementary to what you do as someone who does acupuncture. But if you can learn to read your own nervous system and to read the states that when your muscles get tight, well, what can I do? Well, you can think of a nourishing moment, a resource, like what or who uplifts you? What or who brings you joy? That actually can activate some of the resiliency circuits in our brain that when we do that and then we notice the sensations in our body, we can actually feel a sense of being lighter and feeling and all of a sudden having a deeper breath that comes in spontaneously. No one has to say, take a breath. Because when we think of those nourishing, resourceful moments, our body will naturally do that. And when we pay attention to it with awareness, it actually is like saving it to your hard drive. But one of the things that I think, especially right now, that I've been actually really trying to uplift in people's minds is that there's a resiliency circuit that's connected to generosity. So, for example, if you are generous, Rhonda, to somebody in your community, or someone comes to you and says, oh, Rhonda, I brought you flowers. Thank you so much. What you did really helped me. Or if you're seeing a neighbor, let's say, an elderly neighbor who has a hard time carrying their wood into their house for their wood-burning stove. All of a sudden you see a teenager going, hey, Mrs. Jones, can I bring the wood into your house? and you're witnessing an act of generosity. Those brain circuits are livened. And that's one of the ways that we nurture ourselves. And so if we say the big step, and this is a body literacy step, what do you notice when you notice your teenage neighbor carrying the wood for Mrs. Jones? You go, gosh, I just feel a certain sense of well-being. Well, can you just bring your attention to where you're sensing that well-being in your body? Because what we pay attention to grows. It's just like, I know there's great gardens in Maine. And what if you only watered the weeds in your garden? It's not like you don't want to pay attention to the weeds. I mean, they're the stresses. But the well-being are those nourishing moments. Oh, that beautiful coastline of Maine. There's hardly anything that is more beautiful than the coastline of Maine. Maybe California's coastline. But I can say that. And I'm going, oh, I'm remembering that trip I took along the coast of Maine. And it was so beautiful. So there you go. I'm sensing my well-being, bringing in that nourishing moment. Now you're saying, but Elaine, I'm really angry about what's happening, what happened to Rhonda Good and what happened to Alex, Renee Good. But at the same time, yes, that's horrible. And we have to pay attention to the suffering in the world and not put our, you know, like the ostrich that buries their head in the sand when bad things are happening. Although sometimes maybe that's what I do when I don't want to watch the news. But we can know that that's happening and saying, but I can still nourish myself. I can still be that good neighbor. I'm going to write a letter to my congressperson and saying, what are you doing to stop this? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Take action.
I just want to say that what you brought up is absolutely true. For some people will feel guilty or I'm not allowed or this isn't the time for gratitude. This isn't the time to think of nice things when in fact, this is exactly the time, isn't it?
It is exactly the time. And so I'm going to give you an example of this. It's a little different. But so the Trauma Resource Institute and I have been working very much with my Los Angeles community since the horrible wildfires a year ago. And so we were asked to come to do a kind of an after debriefing with LA County Parks and Recreation Department. And so we knew that there were going to be probably 300 young people. And I have to tell you, you know what these young people did during the fires? They actually staffed the centers where people were coming for the shelters. They were staffing the shelters. So, and then what they did is they had camps for the kids, and these were the kids got to play soccer and they got to do different things because these young people were in their late teens, early 20s. They came to action for the kids in their community. But these young people, it was the first time many of them had ever experienced such wide-scale disaster. You know, in one community, like in one school that I work with, 70% of the kids lost their homes. 70%. I mean, just unbelievable, right? In one community. And so these young people, they just came to action. But LA County was concerned about them. We want to make sure that we give them an opportunity to appreciate them and to bring someone like the Trauma Resource Institute that knows about trauma and stress and healing. So we had probably 25 volunteers and it ended up being more like 500 people came. I don't know. There were lots of people. So what we thought would be small groups of 20 were small groups of 40 or 50. But the question that we asked, we said, we are here to share some skills that may be helpful. But before we do that, we want you to know you can say as little or as much about what happened as you'd like to say. But before you do that, you know, we know that you did many things for children. And we're wondering, as we get started, if you could share an act of generosity that you witnessed or that maybe you gave or someone gave to you. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, we were crying. We were crying tears of gratitude. When I remember when this one little boy who'd lost all of his Legos and people donated Legos and he saw, Mom, I can rebuild my Legos, right? So, I get tears just saying that out loud to you. But this is how we nourish ourselves when we are living through difficult times. So when I can say that I have seen people in Minneapolis go to the aid of others, that it is so cold in Minneapolis right now. And you see the thousands of people that are in the streets. That to me is an act of incredible generosity and showing up for people who have been killed and who are being harmed. And so that to me is what nourishes me. So those are the kinds of things that I would love for your listeners to take a moment to think about. What nourishes you? What or who uplifts you when you're down in the dumps? Or if there have been moments in your life that have been really tough, who or what do you do? Is there a go-to person? You call Rhonda and say, "Hey, Rhonda, I'm having a tough day." You know the people in your life that you can go to. And when you talk to them, you feel better. And that doesn't take away the storms that we're experiencing in our country right now. But I do know that if I'm with intention wanting to stay more harmonious in my nervous system, because I believe that that will make me a better advocate, to advocate for Miss Good's life, for Alex's life, so that they are never forgotten. And there are so many others, Rhonda, that we don't even know their names, people of color that have lost their lives, that are being held right now away from their families, children separated from their moms and dads. This is a country that we have lived with democracy and with the rule of law. And so for us to be losing that, and I just want to say one thing. I have many friends that are Jewish, and they share with me their family memories and stories of when things like this were happening, when Jewish people were being picked up in the middle of the night and dragged into vans. So what do you think that in terms of historical trauma that does to anyone of a Jewish descent or who lived in any kind of revolutionary country, that was commonplace?
Yeah.
So we're not only talking about the traumas that are existing right now, but also the historical trauma that many of us carry within us as well, that can be like activated right now, even if it didn't happen to us, but it happened to our family members. And that's why working with helping your well-being as much as possible. Because if we do have to escape, right? If we did, we would be much better off escaping from our zone of well-being than from a dysregulated state. We'll be much better able to make the right choices for ourselves and our family.
If you've just tuned in, this is the Healthy Options Program right here on WERU Community Radio. I'm Rhonda Fineman. We're here with Elaine Miller-Karas, co-founder of the Trauma Resource Institute and the author of Building Resiliency to Trauma, the Trauma and Community Resiliency Models. And we're talking about ways to ground ourselves, to get into our resilience zone as we work in our communities and in the world, and how our nervous systems work to protect us, but also how sometimes we can get dysregulated and that will keep us from being our more best selves and best action selves and best ways to make decisions about how we are in the world. So we are talking about reactivating historical trauma. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about even remembering, you know, you've often talked about, well, someone was in a terrible accident or was ill. Remind us how you got out of it. Remind us what happened.
Well, first of all, you know, I want to say to people that we have a free app through our institute, and it's called iChill. And if you don't have a smartphone, but you have a computer, you can go to iChillApp.com. And so that has all of our wellness practices. And we've recently updated our iChill. So I'm happy to say it's in English, it's in Spanish, it's in Ukrainian, it's in Hebrew, it's in Arabic, it's in Chinese and Korean. And there's more languages coming. So that means that if you are a person or you know people that speak certain languages, that you can invite them to start using the iChill app as a practice, because it has the wellness skills of the community resiliency model. And the wellness skills are simple. Even a child can learn them. But center to the wellness skills is what we call tracking, reading the nervous system. I use the term body literacy. It's learning to pay attention to these sensations of ours, because we often have the sensation before we even have the thought of the feeling or what it means. And so if we can start learning and being a really good tracker of our own nervous system, then we can say, oh, there's that tension in my stomach again. Oh, I know what that is. I'm going to start thinking of that nourishing moment to help quell that discomfort. And so I can be in my best self. It's not that I want to run away from remembering what caused that pit to be in my stomach, but now I'm saying, okay, what can I do for Minneapolis? What can I do? Is there anything I can do? So I know somebody who's a community resiliency model teacher there. And so I texted his husband and said, is there anything I can do? So I don't know if there's anything I'm going to be able to do, but I will do whatever I can. But just the reaching out, right?
So, yeah, so the record tracking. So my chest, I can't breathe. I'm panicked. I can't sit down. I can't.
Well, okay. So if you've gotten to that, you really are way in your high zone. So you may need to use a help now strategy. And on our app, there's a little button on the top and you can push it and it'll say, have a drink of water. Actually, sometimes if you can get up, pushing against a wall with all of your might, with your hands, can help downregulate you from the high zone into the zone of well-being. You also can look around your room and name colors, because you're actually, with awareness, activating a different part of your brain that's helping your nervous system downregulate from the high zone. You can count down from 20, 20, 19, 18. All these different strategies that we have with the help now to reset now can help your nervous system come back into balance. So these are the kinds of things that you can do immediately if you're in that panic state. But when you're in a non-panic state, what I really recommend that you do is listen to the app. Go over those help now strategies when you're not in a panic. And then you go, oh, I'm going to pay attention to that. I can push against the wall the next time I feel that sense of activation in my nervous system. Or I do something with my right hand. So grounding is our third skill. And grounding is just paying attention to your body in the present moment. But it doesn't have to be your whole body. It can be a part of your body. So I put my hand on my table, and my table is hard. It's cool. I immediately, look at that. I just took a deeper breath. I have practiced that so much that my nervous system knows, okay, Lynn, we're going to take a deep breath. I mean, if it could talk to me. But the more that you practice something, the more that your body's accustomed to doing something to bring it back into a state, we'll call it homeostasis or the zone of well-being. I call it the okay zone for kids. And that doesn't necessarily mean, also I want to say one thing about that, that we're also just chill in our zone of well-being. We can be a bit angry. We can be sad, but we can feel we can manage the feelings in it, right? I don't want people to think, oh, if I'm not chill, that means I'm not in my zone of well-being. I can be passionately angry and I can be sad about what's happening in the world today, but still feel I can manage my sadness, right? And that doesn't mean that there aren't times when I might see something where I really start crying. But I know that tears can be medicinal too. You know that emotional tears release endorphins in the body. Guess what? We're so designed for healing. And that's why crying is a good thing. So we say, notice the wetness of the tears. Notice the warmth of the tears. Those are all ways that we can also help stabilize the nervous system. So tracking is at the center. But when I said the thing about the nourishing moments is sometimes those resources are the best ways to sense your well-being, because you've already had the experience. If I tell you about my granddaughter, right? Oh my God, I love her. She's so cute. And we do blah, blah, blah together, right? I just automatically take a breath. Or if I say, oh, that trip to Maine and being on the coastline. Or if I can say walking with my husband, you know, at different times when we've been in beautiful places on this planet, right? We can try to cultivate those nourishing moments, but not just to think about them, but to sense them. And then grounding, like I already said, is your connection to the present moment. But I want to say something about grounding, and I just actually wrote something new about this. And that is, many children, be careful what your children are watching on the news and social media, because it can be very dysregulating of their nervous systems. And remember, we don't have to experience something to be afraid of something. And so the children may be like having problems sleeping at night. You're going, why is my kid having problems sleeping? And so I just did an exercise where you can, with intention, just take your child through a simple grounding exercise. It's called bedtime grounding. So notice your head on the pillow. Notice your shoulders against your bed. Oh, and you notice how the blanket is warming your body. You can do very simple things that bring their attention to the present moment that helps access their parasympathetic nervous system that is our rest and digest part of our nervous system to help in calming. So you can do things very intentionally because sometimes all of us think that the only way to make us feel better is to talk about it. Guess what, Rhonda? I've learned that's not the case. I know that you know that as an acupuncturist, right? And as a person who's brought healing modalities to your community. But sometimes just paying attention to the body in a different way helps quell the nervous system. And then we're lighter. And guess what? We have more nourishing thoughts that come from us saying, even though this is hard right now, this is not the way it's always going to be in America. And someone said that to me this week. And I thought, once we did these little exercises, and I do believe that's true, it's not the way it's always going to be. I believe that. I have to believe that. I don't know if you believe that, Rhonda, but I believe that.
Sure. We have, I've just gotten so, I have to say, my I've gotten into my resilience zone. I'm just like totally cool, chill. I am totally chill right now having this conversation. It really makes a difference. It really makes a difference to do the resources. It makes a difference in our nervous systems. Well, it's not something we have to do. And that's the thing. We have to do the technique. We have to be conscious and say, yes, I will practice this. But the body will take care of itself. It's not something we already have it.
We already have the resources inside of it. And the body will take as a wisdom if we just pay attention to the sensations. And for all of you listening, think, if someone asks me what I feel one more time, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay in my zone of well-being. Well, guess what? You don't have to ask someone how they're feeling. You can actually just say, hey, you want to go for a mindful walk with me, right? And we can pay attention to how our feet are touching the ground. And maybe we can look around and let's listen to the birds. Let's see, the snow. I love the sound of the snow. Just kind of falling and hitting the branches of the trees. You know, the different things that nourish you about your sensory system can nourish on the inside, not just the outside.
Yes. Is there another level after grounding?
Yes, there is. There's there's gesturing, which is, you know, I love gesturing. And it's gesturing that is not doing something unkind towards someone, of course, say that. So gesturing has to do with self-soothing gesturing. Like I'm putting both of my hands right now on my heart, which is a self-soothing gesture for me. Now, I don't know if you do that, if it's self-soothing for you, Rhonda, but it is for many people, but not for everyone. So the question I would ask your audience is that, is there a self-soothing gesture you make on a regular basis that is not self-harming, but actually comforts you? So you can think about that for a minute. Like my daughter, she is a hair twirler and she twirls her hair. It's very comforting to her to do that. My husband is a thumb stroker. He one thumb on top of the other thumb. He's also a twiddler. So he twiddles his thumbs and that's calming to him. And you know, how did I know that he did that? Because when he was upset with me, he'd always twiddle his thumbs. I go, you know, you always twiddle your thumbs when we're having these little arguments. And I'm going, so that's how we figured out that was a self-regulating.
Oh, that's funny.
And he'd been doing that his entire life. So try to find those self-soothing movements or gestures that you make that quiet the nervous system. They're so simple. And when you find out that, let's say your partner or your child does a particular thing, not to, punish them for it. Like many people, for example, move their leg very rapidly and it helps regulate their nervous system. But I have spoken to many people that do that. And oftentimes a family or a teacher will say, stop moving your leg. And so they feel so much shame about it. And I go, you know what? You can move your leg any way that you want. And if you want to move it fast or slow, let's just do it. I'll even do it with you if you want me to. Oh my gosh. I've had grown men just start to cry. No one has ever said it was okay to move my leg, right? And it's like, It was like a big deal for them because they know that's what their nervous system was doing to regulate their nervous system.
You know, it's interesting. There's something about singing, about humming, about music, and humming can be very soothing to the nervous system.
It can.
Yes.
And sometimes not.
And sometimes not, but it may not calm someone else's nervous system. We're talking about.
And I want to say it's really important. If anybody is neurodiverse, they have a neurodiverse child, these kinds of gestures and movements, they call them stemming. And oftentimes they have been tormented by others because of those movements. And that's why we have many people that take our trainings and they go, oh my gosh, thank you so much, because you're the only model I've ever taken that actually has said it was okay to make the movements that I make that help me. So I just feel so good about that, honestly. Even though I know that many people don't understand those movements, I think when we look at the nervous system, and if people are getting overloaded with stimulation, that oftentimes there's certain movements that people make in order to calm their nervous system. So then the next skill is, the next skill we already talked about is help now. And then the last skill is called shift and stay.
What's help now?
Help now are those, you know, take a drink of water, push against the wall.
Oh, okay, right.
Countdown from 20, the naming colors. So, because that's to use if you're really way out of your zone, high zone.
Sure.
But the shift and stay is really kind of encapsulating all the skills. So it's like, first and foremost, you track your nervous system. And let's say you find, I feel so much distress. Then you have a choice. Oh, I can shift to a resource and notice. I can shift to grounding and notice. I can shift to a self-soothing gesture or a help now strategy and notice the shift. So it's about beginning to really learn and hone into paying attention that you can, by awareness and your own intention, actively work with your own nervous system to bring it into a state of well-being. You don't need to have another person, although it can help if you're really bummed out to have another person that can be with you to help you get into that zone of well-being. And as much as I know the skills very well, there are times when I've said, you know what, I need some help. I'm having a really rough day and it just seems like I need to be in relationship in order to be able to get into that zone of well-being. And that's especially true for little ones. You know how little ones like to be rocked. They have a favorite blanket or his favorite stuffed animal. My granddaughter was, she was 8 when the firestorm came to Los Angeles. And although we didn't have to evacuate, we had an evacuation notice. It was very loud on all of our phones. So we were getting things in the car and getting ready. And then they said, oh, false alarm. In those few moments, you could just see her get very frightened. And so what we did is she went and got her, she has a little stuffed animal called Biscuit. So she got Biscuit and held Biscuit and you could just see her start to relax. So I had a film crew over here the other day and we were doing some filming about what to do with disasters. And so she saw me and she was home and she goes, Nana, can I be in the film too? I said, sure. I said, what do you want to talk about? So she ran into her room and she got Biscuit and she did the whole thing. She goes, when I heard the fire, I got Biscuit. And I said, well, what happened? She goes, my muscles relaxed. Then I could feel better. You see what I'm saying? Is that children can learn body literacy.
That is so fabulous.
They get into their zone of well-being. It's just wonderful that they can do that too. So
I'm just having the moment. It's like sending all that good energy back to our little child selves. If you happen to be an adult listening, like just send it back right now. We didn't know. Right. No one knew. No one knew to help you with this, but we know now. So you can send all of that good Biscuit energy or whatever it is for you back to yourself,
anybody who's listening can go to our website, the traumaresourceinstitute.com website. We have many offerings for free on the website where you can listen to an introductory workshop, but we are developing new programming for children. We've been working a lot with the schools in Los Angeles, but in other parts of the world as well. And we have these little modules where you can integrate them into your school system. And it doesn't take a lot of time. I think that's the good news, is that you can bring in like a calming moment in terms of saying, you know what, we're all going to try to find a self-soothing movement or gesture that we make. And so then I'm going to count to 3. And on the count of 3, everyone in the classroom can make their self-soothing movement or gesture. And if you want to get up and, you know, for example, push against the wall, that would be okay too. Now, you have to have a teacher that will be willing to give the space for all the kids to do that. But there's a payoff to the teacher, because when children are empowered to start paying attention to their own nervous system, guess what?
It's easier.
It gets easier. And you know what? Children like to manage their own bodies. And when they can learn to do that, when someone's actually teaching them how to do that, it can change how they walk in the world.
If you have just joined us, you are tuned to WERU Community Radio, and this is the Healthy Options Program. I'm Rhonda Feynman, and our guest today is Elaine Miller-Karas, author, radio show host, social worker, trauma therapist, and co-founder of the Trauma Resource Institute. And we are learning very practical skills for grown-ups, and hopefully we can be adults in the room, grown-ups and children and all of us on how to get back into our resiliency zone. So we're talking about self-soothing. Talk more about what that means.
Remember that we have a nervous system that is designed not only to alert us if we have danger, if there's an existential life and death threat, but we're also designed for well-being. And so we have ways that our nervous system is designed right in this very moment to help comfort us. So if you were looking at me, for example, you would see that I have both hands to my heart. This is very comforting to me. And when I do this, sometimes I'll start rocking a little bit. Rocking can be very, very soothing to the nervous system. And I often think that we have something called implicit memory, body memory. I think many of us were rocked when we were babies, and I think that we have a body memory of that, so that when we rock, that we often just kind of go into a parasympathetic response, and it's very soothing for us. So to know that there are movements that we can make that are not self-harming, that can really comfort our nervous system and bring us to that zone of well-being. And I think it's also, I want to also say something too that I think is important for all of us to know, is that to be kind to yourself right now, to have space for compassion for yourself. Because I talk to so many people right now that feel like, oh man, I'm just not myself. Oh my gosh, I yelled at my kids. I would never have done that in that way. But it's too much pressure. You asked me in the beginning, there's a compilation of stresses and trauma that many of us are experiencing. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine who lives in San Bernardino County. It's the neighboring county to LA. And her gardener of literally 15 years was taken by ICE. So his son is taking over the business. But she was sharing with me just how absolutely grief-stricken the family is, because they don't know where he is. And that is one family in literally thousands that are experiencing that throughout the United States, including in Maine. And so I think reach out to the families, show that tending and befriending and kindness. I know we have people in our community. We talked about it being the underground radio, the underground railroad of Los Angeles, where people are taking food to families that are too afraid to leave their homes, because part of the response of the survival brain is fear. And there's a darn good reason to be fearful right now for many people in our country. It's not because they're overreacting. And I've heard people say, who think differently than me, they go, oh, they wouldn't get picked up. They're American citizens. Baloney. That's not true. I actually had an administrator of one of the schools in Los Angeles show me a little wallet that she carries with her always. She is a Latina, and it shows that she's an American citizen, because she's so afraid of getting picked up. So this is like identity cards, like they used to use in South Africa, and that the yellow star in
Germany.
Countries. Yes. So I just want people to know that this is real. This is happening in America.
Oh. And now, as we're discussing this, I'm wondering how many people are getting re-stimulated.
Well, that could happen. And I'm not going to re-stimulate you on purpose, but I want to say that that is true. But what else is true? What else is true is there are shows like your show, Rhonda, that you are bringing people in to talk about this, that you can think of that self-soothing gesture. Call in a nourishing moment. who has helped you during your difficult times? Have the answers to these questions in your hand, because you may need to bring them in over and over again. Because in one day, you can start out by saying, like you said, oh, I'm in my resilience zone. You said that to me earlier, Rhonda,
yes.
But you may get bumped out today. That's how we're designed. But guess what? If you can get bumped out, you can get back in your zone of well-being by all these practices that I've shared with you. And you all have practices who are listening to this radio show, right? And so what are they? But really try to make a self-care plan for you. Help your children, help your mother, help people who are important to you. Have a community gathering and saying, what is our self-care plan? What is our action plan for self-care if this is happening in our community? Because we can do that. That is what else is true.
You know, I just want to say too that they're doing a lot of singing. And one of the songs, I don't know the whole tune, I just heard it, is saying, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward, doing, and showing up even when you're afraid. Courage.
Yes, beautiful.
And that's beautiful. So that's part of how people are talking to each other. And singing with each other.
Right, but also I just want to say is that there's some people that may not be able to be courageous in going out to places right now. And that's okay too. So is there a quiet way that you can express what you're experiencing, whether it's a prayer? I believe prayer and meditation are very powerful. Is it, again, writing to a congressperson or writing to someone or talking to a friend? You don't have to go and be in a protest. You don't have to hold a sign.
Right.
Also say, no, this is not okay. And you can be part of a response without being out there in the way that some people are.
It's exactly right. And I know that in terms of organizing and the way that people are coming together, they are saying, what is the role for everybody? What is the role for everybody? We're going to have to leave it there. Please stay.
Oh my gosh, that's gone by fast.
It has very much gone fast. Remember, we will have the link to your article in Psychology Today amongst all the other links and things we've talked about. Our guest today on Healthy Options has been Elaine Miller-Karas, co-founder and former executive director of the Trauma Resource Institute, host of the podcast Resiliency Within, and that is on Voice America, and author of Building Resiliency to Trauma, the Trauma and Community Resiliency Model. Thank you, Elaine Miller-Karas, for being with us today. Always a pleasure.
I always love to talk to you guys. I want to come out to Maine again.
Please do.
So long.
The website for the Trauma Resource Institute is traumaresourceinstitute.com. You can also see the links to the iChill app, the free app to help chill us out. Again, and that's in a good way, that's the traumaresourceinstitute.com. You can find the link to the show and other information that was mentioned in the public affairs section and the Healthy Options archive at weru.org. Get the weru.org app and listen to Healthy Options as a podcast, and you'll see all of the other interviews that we've done in the past with Elaine Miller-Karas. Thanks to Joel Mann and Amy Brown for WERU, for engineering support, for Petra Hall, for co-production, and as always, to all of our WERU listeners and supporters, thank you. This is Rhonda Feynman wishing you the best in health.